Swift leaps to his feet and expects to see someone he knows coming for him. An old enemy, a betrayed friend, an ex-girlfriend with a broken heart and a blaster rifle. But instead, he sees some other woman coming for him. Older, silver hair moved by the wind. Whoever she is, she looks familiar to him. But he doesn't have time to sort through all the faces he's met, because she's got a pistol pointed right at him, and another stun bolt comes. But he's fast. A coiled spring, suddenly unsprung. He deftly pivots on the ball of his right foot, and as he spins around, he has one of his batons up and flung. It leaves his fingers and whistles through open air. His baton clips the front of her blaster. She cries out as the gun tumbles away, clattering onto the rooftop. The woman shakes her hand. The vibration surely stung her mitt, and now she's trying to soothe it. But still, she keeps on coming, her face a grim rictus of determination. Good for her. But she's still not going to get him. He flexes his hand, fingers pressing into the button in the center of his palm. The extensor pads at the tips of his fingers suddenly buzz, and his one flung baton jumps up off the ground and surfs the air currents back into his grip. The older woman skids to a halt, throwing a punch as she does. It's a good punch, solid. But the bounty hunter knows it's coming because her body language telegraphs the attack. Mercurial sidesteps, her fist catching open air, and it gives him an opportunity to jab his baton up under her arm. Electricity courses through her, her teeth clamped together, and her eyes open wide as every centimeter of her seizes up. When she drops, he hears the scuff of a boot behind him, and he thinks, oh, I'm too damn distracted. This job made him too comfortable, too complacent, and now someone's hammering a fist into his kidneys, dropping him down to one knee. He cries out and goes low with the next attack. His baton whips around, catching the second attacker behind the knee. His foe, a tall man with a hawk's beak nose and dark eyes, curses and drops hard on his tailbone. He recognizes this one, doesn't he? Imperial. No, ex-Imperial. Working for the New Republic now. Now he wonders, is this about the Perwin Geddy job? It's coming back to him now. He stole their target right out from under them. What do they want? Credits? Revenge? Is he on their list? Doesn't matter. I have no time for whatever this is. The girl isn't worth it. The payout is garbage. It's time to go. The fallen vent stack tower is his escape route, so he leaps to his feet and bolts fast across the rooftop. Another stun blast warps the air around him. The older woman reclaimed her weapon. But he leaps and slides onto the crumpled tower now serving as a bridge. He rights himself and runs, feet banging on the metal. The vented Durasteel provides texture that helps him keep his footing, and he charges down the bridge and toward a break in the factory wall next door. Nobody follows. His assailants are slow. Too slow. Because, he reminds himself, nobody's as fast as me. Mercurial Swift. Triumphant again. He leaps across the gap, and an arm extends across the open space and slams hard across his trachea. His heels skid out, and Mercurial drops onto his back, the air blasting out of his chest as his lungs collapse like clapped hands. Hi, says a voice. Another woman. This voice he knows. A fellow hunter. A bounty killer and skip tracer like him. The Zabrak, Jazz Imari. She steps over him, and as his eyes adjust, he sees her juggling a toothpick on her tongue and between her teeth. She cocks her head, a flip of hair going from one side of her spike-laden scalp to the other.
Imari!
He wheezes, air finally returning to his reinflating lungs. He wastes no time. He brings one of his batons up fast, but she is faster. A small blaster in her hand screams, and all goes dark.